arranging my medical needs. He wasn't really prepared ahead of time to do. I thank him, and I hope that Mirtz Hashem, he will benefit from the Kehillah, and the Kehillah will benefit from him. I also want to thank Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Green for hosting me both the last time I was here and now. And they are very, very, very fine hosts. And I thank them for all the Mesiris Nefesh of having me in their home and my wife. I've been debating whether to mention this or not, but I think it's important to say it's on a very personal note. Before I came here, I was visiting with my children and grandchildren in Glasgow. My son-in-law is the chaplain for all of the universities, Mitzad the London Beis Din. And I went through a few surgeries during Chodesh Tishrei, spent most of Chodesh Tishrei in the hospital. And we weren't sure if we're going to be able to make this trip or not. And Baruch Hashem, before I left Eretz Yisrael, we consulted with the surgeon and at the hospital, and he told me there's no reason why I can't make this trip. Unfortunately, while we were in Glasgow, things took a turn for the worse. And there was a complication, and we were afraid that maybe we'd have to return to Eretz Yisrael immediately and go back to the hospital. So I called Rav Aaron and told him that we're not sure if we're going to come or not. This was last Wednesday. And I called a friend of mine who happens to be a doctor in America, and I told him the situation, and I asked him what I should do. He told me, don't cancel the trip, but tell them that as soon as you get there, you must see a doctor. So they arranged that, and I came here on Thursday night. I went to see Dr. Friedman, Joel Friedman. And he treated me. Not only did he treat me, he told me to come back on Friday and again tonight. And not only did he reverse the negative that was there, we're going back to Eretz Yisrael better than we left Eretz Yisrael. B'li ayin hara. So you should realize you have such a special doctor amongst you. You should appreciate the fact, and he was a very good shliach. And b'li ayin hara, I see now that aside from coming here and having the schus to be able to speak to you, the schus of the kehillah gave me a refuah shleima. But I still would appreciate if you could daven, continue davening for me, that refuah shleima should remain. Okay, I am flattered that you invited me here for a second time. But I'm a little apprehensive that maybe the reason is not so positive. I heard of a chazan who gave a performance. And when he finished his last number, they asked for an encore to sing it again. So he sang it a second time. When he finished it the second time, they asked for a third time. He sang it a third time. After seven times of singing the same number, he said, you know, I'm flattered that you keep wanting to hear this number over and over again, but how many times? And somebody from the back yelled out, until you do it right. So I hope this time I'll do it right, and you won't have to invite me again for an encore. I picked a topic that is very controversial. There are many different opinions, and before I even start what I'm going to tell you, it's clear that what you take from what I'm going to say is meaningless. Because you have a Rav here, a Morah D'Asra, a Talmud Chacham. And how what I'm going to say applies to any individual is his domain. Ask him, And that's what you have to follow. I'm going to tell you what I think is important for you to hear, for everybody to hear, because there's so much distortion on this inyan on both sides. And I'm going to tell you what I understood from my Rebbeim. I'm a Telzer. I learned in Telzer Yeshiva in Wycliffe, Ohio. My Rebbeim were Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Baruch Sorotzkin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Rav Chaim Stein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I'm not going to tell you that what I'm going to tell you I heard directly from them. But this is what I understood the Telzer Shita, at least in those times, was. But I'm not blaming them. What I'm telling you is for me. Take it with a grain of salt. But I think the things I'm going to tell you, no matter what you hold, should make some impression. In the Jewish world, there are people who are sitting and learning, Torosam, Umnosam, and there are people who are Koveya Itim La Torah, Yofet Talmud Torim, Derech Eretz. Both of them have a place in Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, there are people who think that only one of them has a place in Klal Yisrael. There are those that think that people sitting and learning, right, are parasites, are living off people's tzedakah monies, and they even have a Rambam to back them up. There's a Rambam that probably many of you never heard of, but it's used by foolish people who only know that Rambam. They don't know that there are a few other Rambams also, but they know one Rambam. And knowing one Rambam is very dangerous. So they quote this Rambam. The Rambam says that anyone who thinks that he will sit and learn Torah and not get and earn a livelihood, so that kind of person is mechalel shem shamayim. He loses his olam haba because he is using the Torah as an occupation. And it says it's also to use the Torah as kardam lachbar bo. You can't use the Torah as a hatchet to dig with. And here he's getting paid to learn Torah. Torah for him is an occupation. So you see that all the kolim should close up. I guarantee you Gedolei Yisrael and Rosh HaKolim know this Rambam too. They didn't close up the kolim. And Bein HaDvarim will explain a little bit, because there's another Rambam. Unfortunately, some people only know the second Rambam. The Rambam is in the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. And there the Rambam says that someone who separates himself from the ways of the world, doesn't earn a living on his own, but separates himself and devotes himself totally to Torah and to getting closer to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, Harei Niskadish Kodesh Kadoshim. He's like Levi, Shevet Levi, and he's holy of holies. How will he live? The Rabbonu Shel Olam will take care of him like he takes care of the Kohanim and Leviim. That doesn't mean that parachutes will come down with food packages to feed him, because that's not how the Rabbonu Shel Olam takes care of the Kohanim and Leviim. What it means is that Klal Yisrael will support him, just like they support the Kohanim and Leviim. So here a person who's sitting and learning, devoting himself totally to Avodas Hashem, and he's Kodesh Kadoshim. Here the Rambam says somebody like that is Mechal Shem Shomayim, Mechaben Ner Hadas, and loses Chelek and Olam Haba. So which is it? Obviously you have to understand both situations. And things have become so distorted. I'll tell you a story that in my mind is a distortion. If you don't think it's a distortion, so I think you need to learn a little bit more. There's a cheder in Eretz Yisrael that only accepts children of people who are learning full time. They don't accept children from Balabatim. Okay. A Rebbe in that cheder wanted to put his child into the cheder. And they refused him because he's working. I'm glad to see you're laughing. Shalom is a very, very important thing. The Siyum Shmona Esrei is Birkas HaShalom, Birkas Kohanim. The Siyum of Birkas Kohanim is Shalom. We greet each other B'Shem Hashem, Shalom. Shalom is very important. Shalom does not mean peace, quiet, serenity. Some people think Shalom Bayis is a home where nobody ever raises their voice, nobody ever disagrees, nobody ever argues, everything is calm, quiet, and serene. That does not describe Shalom Bayis. That describes a cemetery. Shalom means shlemus. So says the Maral and many, many others. Perfection. And shlemus does not exist except by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is shalem. He's perfect. Shlemus in anything but the Ribbono Shel Olam is a team effort. It's only when very different things work together can there ever be any measure of perfection. But no one thing in this world, on any level, can ever reach perfection on its own. Without working together with other different parts. On the physical level, Torah says that every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created things, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. Everything was good. On Friday it says, Vayar Elokim Es Kol Asher Osa Vehine Tov Ma'od. Says the Sfarno, what transformed all these many good things into very good? There's a lot of good things now. Why is it very good? To illustrate what the Sfarno says, if you take an automobile and you disassemble it into its parts, so you have tires over here, can use them as floats, you have a horn, they can use that as a musical instrument, you have a gas tank, you can fill that with liquids. You have the seats, you can use that as furniture. Everything has a function, and it's good. But when you put it all together, and it creates a functioning automobile, that's very good. The automobile is better than the sum of its parts. So on Friday, when everything worked together, that was tov ma'od. That was very good. The same thing goes with the chevra, with society. If everybody in society would be a doctor, we'd have a very healthy world. But who would take out the garbage? And if everybody was garbage men, we'd have a very clean world. Who would heal the sick? So you need all the professions, all the different occupations, and when everybody works together, you have a world that is reaching towards perfection. And the same thing goes on the spiritual level. We pride ourselves that we received the Torah with Taryag Mitzvah, 613 Mitzvahs. There is no human being that could ever fulfill 613 Mitzvahs. Not because it's too hard, because it's impossible. Because if you're a Kohen, you have Mitzvahs that no Levi or Yisrael could ever have. But if you're Yisrael, you have Mitzvahs that no Kohen could ever have. A Kohen will never fulfill the Mitzvah. Pidyon HaBen is a father. He's exempt from it. If you're a man, you have mitzvahs that no woman could ever do. But if you're a woman, you have mitzvahs that no man could ever do. At least in my lifetime, I am hoping that no man will ever bring a korban yoledes, the korban you bring after childbirth. It's not a man's mitzvah. So, unless you are a Kohen Levi Yisrael, man and woman wrapped into one, which today may be possible, but under normal circumstances it wasn't, you can't have Taryag Mitzvahs. So who is this Taryag Mitzvahs for? Now the answer is we didn't receive the Torah as individuals. We received the Torah as a conglomerate called Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael. Vayanu kol ha'om yachtov. And Klal Yisrael has 613 mitzvahs. Some people have these mitzvahs. Some people have different mitzvahs. Men have their mitzvahs. Women have their mitzvahs. Kohanim have their mitzvahs. Levim their mitzvahs. Yisrael and their mitzvahs. Farmers have their mitzvah, and businessmen their mitzvah, and Yungalite their mitzvahs. Everybody has different mitzvahs as their tafkid in this world. And it's only when everybody does their part and contributes towards the whole can there ever be any measure of perfection in Klal Yisrael. So when it comes to this inyan, is there a place in Klal Yisrael for people who are sitting and learning and being supported by the Klal? Is there a place in Klal Yisrael for people who are koveya itim la-Torah and who are working and earning a living? Do both of them exist or only one of them? So let me tell you a little bit of background. It's interesting. Yaakov Avinu was the Amud HaTorah. Yeah, he was the pillar of Torah amongst the Avos. You know what we know about Yaakov Avinu's Torah? A space between two words, Vayetze and Vayelech. There we know that Yaakov spent 14 years and didn't sleep sitting and learning Torah. But we know it from a little space between two words. You know what the Torah spends most of the time telling us about Yaakov Avinu in this week's Sedra? How he worked for Lavan. So obviously Yaakov Avinu had both in Yon. He was the Amud HaTorah of people who sat 14 years without sleeping and were Torosam Umnosam. And Yaakov Avinu also had to be the Shorish of those people who were going to learn Torah but combine it with a worldly occupation when he worked for Lavan. I guarantee you he was still learning, but he's working also. So why does the Torah spend so much time telling us how Yaakov Avinu worked and so little time telling us how he learned? Because to a certain degree it's much easier to sit and learn than to go out to work. Somebody once came to Yisrael Salanter and he told him that he's a shochet and he's afraid that maybe he's not doing everything proper. He's got to need all the halachas of how to be a shochet, how to shecht properly. So he wants to leave shechita and do something else to earn a living. So Yisrael Salanter said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to go into business. He said, you're afraid by a shochet that perhaps you're doing things that are wrong. Do you know how many more halachas there are in business that you could do things wrong? And that you're not afraid of? So it could be it's a lot harder to learn from a Yaakov Avinu how to be a person who is a person who's koveya itim la Torah, yofet talmud Torah im derech eretz, than it is for somebody who's sitting and learning all the time. So the Torah spent more time giving us examples of how Yaakov Avinu worked rather than how Yaakov Avinu learned. The Chora, this whole inyan, is an argument. It's a machlokas. We have plenty of machlokas in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, and this is one of them. The Mishnah in the end of Kiddushin says, Reb Meir Omer, Chayiv Adam Lalamed Es Beno Nishkala V'Nikiya. The mayor said that a father has to teach his son, Shaila whether a daughter also, Shaila whether the mother, but a father has to teach his son Nishkala V'Nikiya, a profession, an occupation that's clean and easy. Easy to do, and clean that it's easy to do it beheter. That's a chiyuv of a father. That's what the mayor said. Later on in the Mishnah, Reb Nuhuray Omer, Meiniach ani kol umnis sheba'olam, ve'eini melamed es b'ni el Torah. I will forego every occupation, and I will only teach my child Torah. So have machlokas. Reb Meir says you have to teach your child an occupation, Torah in derech eretz, and Reb Nuhuray says no, Torah only. There's only one problem, says the Brisker Rav. In the Gemara in Erev in Yud Gimel, the Gemara says that Rav Nehurai and Rav Meir were the same person. His real name was Rav Nehurai, which in Aramaic means light, but they called him Rav Meir Arshaheir Eina Yisrael Batorah. Since he enlightened the Jewish people, they called him Rav Meir. People usually don't argue with themselves. How in the world could Reb Meir and Reb Nuroy argue? Reb Meir says you must teach your child an occupation, and Reb Nuroy says, don't do what I say, I'll do what I want to do. So what? How does that work out? It's not my kasha, it's a Briskerov's kasha. In order to understand this, I have to understand another machlokas in the Gemara, in Brachas. The Gemara says there seems to be a contradiction between two psukim. On the one hand, the Torah says, or the Navi says, Yoshua, Lo yomu sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. You should learn Torah day and night. That doesn't leave too much time for doing something else if you're learning Torah day and night. And yet, the Torah says, V'yosafta digonecha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha. You can gather in your crops. That means that you worked on the crops. They're your crops. You planted, you plowed, you harvested. So when do you have time to do all of that if you're learning Torah day and night? So how do you resolve this contradiction? On the one hand, the Torah says that a person should be learning Torah day and night. On the other hand, the Torah says that you have time to gather in your crops. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Hanegi moem minig derech eretz. The answer to the contradiction is, work along with learning. Doesn't seem to answer the question. That was the question. If you're learning day and night, and you're working, you're not learning day and night. So how does Hanegi moem minig derech eretz answer the question? In my estimation, I think what it means is the following. I haven't seen anybody who says this openly, but it seems to be the simplest idea. When it says that you should learn Torah day and night, it can't mean literally, because people have to sleep. Right? If you make a nether that you won't sleep for 3 days, you get malchus and you go to sleep. Because it's impossible physically to stay up for 3 days straight. So you have to sleep. You have to eat. Most people can't learn Torah while they're eating. You have to use the facilities. Not allowed to learn Torah then. So when it says the Hagisa Boyom and Valaila, it doesn't mean literally 24 hours a day. It means all the time that you're not required to do things that human beings have to do, then you should be learning. Says Rabbi Shmuel, there's one more Derech Eretz that you have to do to be able to live. Aside from sleep and eat, you also have to work, because otherwise you'll starve. So include that in the time that you are taking care of Derech Eretz, the way of the world, and the Pasuk V'Hagisa Boyom V'Laila is any other time you have. That's one explanation of Ishmael. Rav Chaim V'Lozhiner says a different explanation. He says it doesn't mean that you should stop learning. Sometimes you're learning at a base medrash, and sometimes you're working and you're learning while you're working. Who said that you can't learn while you work? If you can whistle while you work, you can learn while you work also. So why can't you learn while you work? So while you're working, while you're harvesting or whatever, you're thinking about Divrei Torah. We used to have a kerem, a vineyard, that we ran in Matit Yahu. And Rosh Yeshivas used to send us bochrim that needed a rest. Or as they call it in the world, they had a chill out. And we let them really chill out because we sent them out into this kerem in the winter. And while they were pruning the vines, or they were harvesting the grapes, they had earphones on. And they told me they were listening to shiurim. I never listened to see what they were listening to, but that's what they told me, they were listening to shiurim. So they were learning while they were working. So you can have yosafta digonecha, hanegi mohem minig derech eretz. With the Torah, you can work. There's only one problem. That limits the occupations that a Jewish child can have. Because if you're a farmer and you are pruning grapevines, you can be listening to shiurim while you're doing that. But if you're a brain surgeon, and in the midst of a complicated brain surgery, you are chazering your mishnayis or listening to daf yomi, you're a rotzeach. So that would mean, that would preempt a Jew from being a brain surgeon or anything that needs any concentration. Whatever job you have, if you have to concentrate on it, you can't be thinking about your mishnayis while you are doing your job, otherwise you're a ganav, because you're stealing from your employer. But I think that the answer is, what Rabbi Shmuel means is the following. There's a Meiri. We know that it says that a person who eats Erev Yom Kippur is like he fasted Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. It's like he fasted 2 days. Says the Meiri, if it's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur, so you ate, you fulfilled the mitzvah. It doesn't say whoever eats on Shabbos like he fasted. What's that mean? It's like you fasted 2 days. Says the Meiri, the Rabban Shalom wanted you to fast on Yom Kippur not to think the whole day about not eating. He wanted you to be able to be free to think about spiritual things on Yom Kippur. So therefore the Torah said, I want you to eat Erev Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur you'll be able to fast and concentrate on spiritual things and not on your stomach. Because if you don't eat Erev Yom Kippur, you're going to go into Yom Kippur already fasting. Right? And 2 days fasting, you're only going to be thinking about your stomach. So in order to fast properly on Yom Kippur, you need to eat Erev Yom Kippur. So eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a hechsher mitzvah. It's the preparation for the mitzvah fasting. And the preparation for a mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. So when a person's eating Erev Yom Kippur, and his purpose is in order to be able to fast properly on Yom Kippur, what mitzvah is he involved in? The mitzvah of fasting. So it's like he fasted 2 days. The first day is the preparation for fasting, which is considered part of that mitzvah. And the second day is the actual fast. So if you eat Erev Yom Kippur, it's like you fasted Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. A person who goes to work, and his intention in working is to earn a living, so he can support his family and raise a Jewish home. And he'll be able to sit and learn Torah, because if he starves to death, he's not going to learn anything. So he has to earn a living to live. But he's not earning the living to live stam. He's earning it to be able to learn Torah, to observe Torah. So the entire time that he is working is a hechsher mitzvah to the learning. So every time that he's working is like he's learning, because he's already osik in the preparation for the learning. Because his entire purpose of earning a living is to be able to live a Torah life, which includes learning Torah, observing Torah, building a Torah home, and so on. That's his intention. And therefore the Torah becomes mamish part of his learning. The working becomes part of his learning. That sounds a little wild. Let me tell you something that the Elif HaMogen says. You may not be familiar with the Elif HaMogen, but you are familiar with its author. The author of Elif HaMogen was Rabbi Elezer Papo. Rabbi Elezer Papo wrote a sefer that you are familiar with, Pele Yoetz. In there he has drushes. Drash, real drash. He explains the following pasuk, Bederech Drash. Paro told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll let the Jews go, but they have to leave all their cattle here as security that they're coming back. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, nothing doing. The gam miknenu yelech imanu, says Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to take our cattle with us also. Lo sishoer parso, not one hoof will remain in Mitzrayim. Ki mimenu nikach lavodes Hashem, because we need to take from that cattle sacrifices to serve Hashem. And we don't know what God's going to demand from us. Maybe he wants all our animals as sacrifices. We don't know. He didn't tell us. Till we get there, till we get to the Midbar. So we're not leaving our cattle here. That's a simple meaning of the sentence. Says Rabbi Elezer Papo, what's a drash on that sentence? He says it's a shame that most people spend their time in this world earning a living, and you can't take it with you. Tachrichim don't have pockets. So it's a shame that people spend most of their time on things that they won't enjoy lenetzach nitzachim. They're going to remain here in this physical world. He says, but it's not true. There's a way to take the effort that you put into earning a living to the next world with you. V'gam miknenu yelech imanu. Even our mikneh, our physical material possessions, can go with us to Olam Haba. The gam niknenu yelech imanu. He says, how can you do that? You have to follow the following prescription, he says. First is, Lo Sishaer. All the lows, don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie, Sishaer, leave them to the side. If you're earning a living, earn it honestly. Lo Sishaer, leave the lows on the side. Don't earn a dishonest living. Second condition, Parsa. Parsa, he splits into two words, pros hey. Set aside five times in the day to be involved in Ruchnius directly. Three times davening, make sure you daven with a minion three times a day, as much as possible. And two times, day and night, have a chavrusa, learn something. Be involved, be kovei itim latorah, yomam v'layla. A little bit in the day, a little bit at night. So you have five times, he says, that you're involved in spiritual pursuits during the day. Parsa. And then, he says, have the right kavana when you're working. Ki mimenu nikach lavodes Hashem. When you're working, have in mind that you're doing this because you need it to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because if you don't have the money to pay for your mortgage or your rent, right, you won't be able to mekayim hachnosas orchim, you won't be able to have a place to live, you won't be able to raise your children properly. Right, if you don't have money to buy an esrog and lulav and a sukkah, right, you won't be able to kind those mitzvahs. And if you don't have money to eat, you won't be able to learn Torah. So have in mind when you're earning a living that the goal of it is ki mimenu nikach lavodes Hashem. And now he says the following. If you have that prescription and you work and you have that in mind and you earn an honest living, no one can know who is on a higher madrega. This is what he says. Someone who sits and learns all day, or someone who follows this prescription, no one can know who's on a higher madrega. It depends what the person's kavana is, how much he's really learning, whatever. Only the Rabbanu Shel Olam knows, till we get there. But it's possible that somebody who's earning an honest living and doing it according to the prescription of the Elif HaMogein, right, could be on the same madrega as somebody learning the Torah all the time. That's what he says. Okay? If you have problems with that, you have to see him and ask him what he meant. But that's what he says. That answers a question, I think. In one place, the Gemara says that ein tchilas dino shel adam el al divrei Torah. When a person comes to the next world, the first thing they judge him on is divrei Torah. How much Torah he learned. Yet the Gemara says in another place, in Shabbos, that when you come to the next world, they ask you six questions. The first one is, nosato v'nososo be'emuna. Did you deal in business honestly? And the second is, kovate itim la Torah. So Tosa says, stira. Here it says the beginning of the judgment is on Divrei Torah. Here it says it's the second thing. The first thing is that you deal in business honestly. So Tosa says, no problem. They ask you first about your business, but they judge you first on Divrei Torah, which on the surface doesn't seem to make sense. If they're going to judge you first on Divrei Torah, so ask first things first. Why ask first about the business and then judge you first on Torah, right? So judging first on Torah, ask about Torah first. But according to this, very simple. Person comes to the next world and they ask him, how much Torah did you learn? She says, I was very busy. I had to earn a living. I had to support my family. I was only able to learn an hour a day Torah. So they say, well, what did you do the rest of the time? So I was working, earning a living. What kavana did you have when you were working 6-7 hours a day? He said, my kavana was that I should be able to earn money so I should be able to live a Torah life. So he said, you know what? Those 6 hours count for Tivrei Torah because it was a Hechsher Mitzvah. It was the preparation for learning Torah. It's part of the learning Mitzvah, learning Torah. So you didn't learn Torah 1 hour a day. You learned Torah 7 hours a day. So before they can ascertain kovata itim la Torah, they first have to ask you nosato v'nososo be'emuna. Did you follow the prescription of the Elif HaMogein? And then it could be the time you were working counts for learning time. So hanegi mohem minig derech eretz. That's Pshat and Rabbi Shmuel. If you work with the right intention, then your working time may be considered like learning, because it's all there for the preparation of learning. Okay, that needs a lot of explanation, not for now. But how a person can do that, does that mean maybe you should only work a minimum so you can basically live? Today it's not shaykh. But it was shaykh at some times, where a person could work a certain amount of time and earn what he needs to survive on, and the rest of the time he could sit and learn. Today you can't find a job like that. So, lamaisa, people have to work an extra amount of time. But what's your kavana? Is your kavana for the luxuries, for the extras? Or your kavana is to be able to live a Torah life? What that means to live a Torah life also needs explanation. Right? Because people could live in a cave. They wouldn't have to pay rent or mortgage. But most people couldn't survive like that and couldn't learn Torah if they're living in a cave. Right? Some people need to live in a house, and some people in a bigger house. So, again, those are issues that have to be discussed, but not now. That is Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai argues on Rabbi Yishmael. And he says, if somebody is going to be involved in plowing and planting and harvesting, when's he going to learn? To say that that's the ikkar of his day is the learning, and not what he's doing all the other time, not shy. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says the following: Bizman sha'osim ritzono shel makom malachta nasas de acherim. When Klal Yisrael are on the right madrega, or any individual, and they're osim ritzono shel makom, they're doing God's will, then other people will work for them and support them. Goyim, if necessary, if all of Klal Yisrael are doing it. But in ein osim ritzono shel makom, then the pasuk of Yosafta Digonecha, you're going to have to work and support yourself. There's only one problem. The pasuk Yosafta Digonecha is in Vahoya Im Shamoa Tishmu. How could Rav Shimon bar Yochai say that that pasuk applies with Man She'ein Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, when in the context of the pasuk it seems you're doing Ritzono Shel Makom? So why is Yosafta Digonecha called Ein Osim Ritzono Shel Makom? The kids are Osim Ritzono Shel Makom or Ein Osim Ritzono Shel Makom does not mean whether you are doing mitzvahs in frum or you're not doing mitzvahs and not from. Because the Gemara says that Bizman She'ein Osim Ritzono Shel Makom Nikroim Avodim. And Bizman She'osim Ritzono Shel Makom Nikroim Bonim. Klal Yisrael are called children of Hashem when we're doing Ratzon Hashem, and we're called slaves to Hashem when we're not. If Ein Osim Ritzono Shel Makom means that you're not doing mitzvahs, you're not an Eved, you're a Morate, you're a rebel. An Eved does what his master wants. So it must mean something else. The Kitzur, I think what it means is the following. Osim Ritzono Shel Makom is a much higher level than Stam keeping mitzvahs. What does it mean? Let's start Ritzono Shel Makom. What am I doing the mitzvah for? Am I doing it for the Rebbe Nishma, or am I doing it for me? The Kotzker Rebbe once saw one of his Hasidim saying Kriya Shema with great kavanah, V'yohaftas Hashem Elokecha. So he went over to him after davening. He said, when you said V'yohaftas Hashem Elokecha, did you mean you love Hashem or you love yourself? He said, how can I mean I love myself? I said V'yohaftas Hashem Elokecha. So I'll tell you, people say they love herring. What do they mean? They carry a little fish in their pocket and every once in a while give it a hug and a kiss? No. When they say that they love herring, what do they mean? That herring tastes good, and they like eating things that taste good. So they don't love the herring. They love themselves. Could be that that's what you meant to. You understand that by loving the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's good for you. So because you like to do things that are good for you, so you love the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's not that you love the Ribbono Shel Olam, you love yourself. It's a very high level, right? That level, halavai, we should only be on the level to love the Ribbono Shel Olam because it's good for us. Many people think it's not so good for them to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. Halavai, we should be on the madrega where we understand that it's good for us. But it's not the highest level. The highest level is altruistic, l'shem shamayim, total avas Hashem. That's osim ritzono shel makom, doing God's will, not yours. Not what you think is good for you. Even if you're right. Second thing, osim ritzono shel makom. This afternoon, by Shalosh Shuvos, spoke of the difference between doing mitzvahs and doing ratzon Hashem. What does God want from me? Not just this narrow mitzvah, What's the mitzvah teach me about my standards, my values, my goals? That's Ratzon Hashem. So you expand the mitzvah into an entire lifestyle. That's Ratzono Shel Makom. And a person like that is not only fulfilling God's will, he's making God's will. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tzadik Gozer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, he's Osim Ratzono Shel Makom, not Mekayimim Ratzono Shel Makom. That's a high madrega. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, a person who's on that madrega, so he can sit and learn Torah and he'll be supported by others. Somebody who's not on that madrega, not. And each door, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. You don't have to be Rav Shimon Bar Yochai to sit in the kol. But at least you have to be on a madrega lefi the door. Why? So now let me tell you the difference between those two Rambams. The Sfarno says it in Pirkei Avos, not me. He explains, he doesn't explain these Rambams, but what he says answers the Rambam. Rambam's talking about two different kinds of people. A person can say the following, says the Sfarno. I need to make a living. I could be a plumber, but I hate water. I could be a doctor, but I hate the sight of blood. Right? I don't like all these things. But you know what? I love to learn Torah. And I hear that they pay money to sit in the kol and learn Torah. So my occupation in order to earn money will be to sit and learn the kol. That's what the Rambam's talking about in Hilchas Talmud Torah. He's a Mechal Shem Shammai. He's using the Torah as a means to earn money. His main intention is to earn money. And he's decided he'll use Torah as a means to earn money. There's another person. Person says, I feel I have an achrayus to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs people who are sitting and learning Torah full time because they keep the world going. And the more of them, the more secure the world is. And I feel that I can contribute to Klal Yisrael by sitting and learning Torah and being devoted totally to Avodas Hashem, Klei Kodesh. But I have a problem. If I do that for 3 days and don't eat, I won't be able to sit and learn Torah. I won't be sitting at all. I'll be buried. So I'm forced to accept money to be able to live. His main intention is Torah. The money that he has to take is in order to be able to do that. Question, which is the cart and which is the horse? That person who says, I want to dedicate myself totally to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I'm going to have to take money to do it, because otherwise I can't do it. That person's Kodesh Kadoshim. That's a Sfarno. So that is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So what's the halacha? We have a machlokas. You have to know what the halacha is. The Gemara ends in a very strange way. The Gemara says, Har be'osuk Reb Yishmael v'chaveira v'olso b'yodam. V'har be'osuk Reb Shimon Bar Yochai v'chaveira v'lo also b'yodam. A lot of people did like Reb Yishmael and they combined Torah with a worldly occupation. Torah im derech eretz. And they were successful. And Har be'osuk Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and a lot of people tried to do like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and devote themselves totally to Torah, and they weren't successful. That's the end of the Gemara. Who cares what a lot of people did? What's the halacha? If the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, even if nobody was ever successful, that's what you have to do. And if the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, who cares how many people were successful or not? Says the Brisker Rav. That's the halacha. Har be'osuk Rabbi Shmuel, Klal Yisrael. The majority of Klal Yisrael have to be people like Rabbi Yishmael. Not on that madrega of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they have to earn a living, and they have to have an occupation, and be koveya itim la Torah according to the prescription of the Elif HaMogin. But there have to be yechidim in Klal Yisrael, there has to be a minority in Klal Yisrael that are devoted to Torah totally. Because Klal Yisrael can't exist without a Shevet Levi. So you need Yisachar, you need Levi, you need 2 shvatim out of 12 that are moser to Torah levad. Now that does not mean in numbers of Klal Yisrael. What it means is from the people who are shayich to learn, they are the miut. But lemaisa, what's it called? That's not a miut of Klal Yisrael. Meaning the following. I don't know how many Jews there are in the world today. 15, 16 million, something like that. Anybody know? Ken Yirbu, whatever it is. Yosef Hashem Aleichem Kochem Elifam. Whatever it is. Out of those, the majority don't even know they're Jewish. What's left is a minority. From that minority, the majority of them that know they're Jewish don't know what Judaism means. They're either part of a conservative, reform, or who knows what. That leaves a minority of a minority of people who know what it means to be Jewish and are basically frum. Out of them, there are many who would never think of their children going beyond high school or even elementary school, right, in a Jewish school, because they want them to have a good occupation only. So they're not even in the running. So we're left with a minority of a minority of a minority of Klal Yisrael that at least have a hasaga that it's possible, right, to be part of Shevet Levi. Now, if the majority of those people are not going to be Shevet Levi, what's going to be left? So we're not talking about stam simple numbers. We're talking that everyone who has the ability to do that has to at least consider it. Everybody who's sitting and learning in a yeshiva, a girl in a seminary, has to consider, maybe I should be from Shevet Levi, I'm Nachrayis to Klal Yisrael. But it doesn't mean that everyone in the mice is going to do that. Because some people are not just on the darga to do that. It's not capable of living a life like that. But there is place for both of them. There's a place for Klal Yisrael of people who are torosam umnosam and a necessity, and someone who has the ability and has to consider it at least as an option. And there's a place in Klal Yisrael for those who follow Rabbi Yishmael, as the Briskerov says, Har Beyosu, and they have to be able to have an occupation, but the occupation, like Rabbi Shmuel, Ha Negimoy Minig Derech Eretz, to be Koveya Itim La Torah, to have the right kavanas, to earn an honest living, and so on. And each person has to do their tafkid, and it's important that they don't try to duplicate somebody else's tafkid. So Maisa with the Briskerov. We'll end with this. In Brisk, the minig was Leil Yom Kippur, after Kol Nidre, the rich people would go home to go to sleep. And the poor people would sit together in shul all night and say Tehillim. So one Yom Kippur night, the Briskerov, the Beis Halevi, sees one of his rich balabatim sitting down next to the Aniyim and opening a Tehillim. So he sends his mashbak, right, to go and call him over. So the man feels the Briskerov's now going to give me a pat on the back that I'm staying in shul all night with the Aniyim to say Tehillim. The Briskerov looks at him and he says, I want you to go home and go to sleep immediately. And if you don't, you're Chayiv Misa. Chayiv Misa. All I wanted to do was say Tehillim with the Aniyim. The Briskerov said, I'll tell you, the Gemara says that there were two functions of Leviim, two occupations. There were Leviim who were Meshorerim and Leviim who were Shoarim. Some were in the choir and some were in the, where they cooked care of the gates. Meshorer Shishir or Meshorer Shishirer is Chayiv Misa. If one of them decided, I'm tired of singing in the choir, I want to go hear the creaking of the gates instead, or vice versa, without permission, she's Chayiv Misa, says the Briskerov. Why is he Chayiv Misa? He's doing a function of a Levi, just not the one he was appointed to do. So because in a time of war, if someone is the pilot of a ship, and he also knows how to fly a plane, and he leaves his tafkid as the pilot of the ship, and goes and flies a plane. He didn't leave the war, he didn't run away, he just changed his position without permission. Chayiv Misa, he's going to get the firing squad. Because he endangered the whole war effort. You're supposed to do your job. Don't try to do somebody else's job. He said in Brisk, why is this minig that the poor say Tehillim and the rich go home? He says, tomorrow we make an appeal for all the tzedakahs in Brisk. So we want the rich people to go home and to get a good night's sleep and come in good nature tomorrow and give what they can give. Because if they come without sleep, grumpy, they're not going to give what they can give. The poor people have nothing to give. So they stay up all night and say tell them that the appeal should be successful the next day. You want to go away from your responsibility as a rich person, right, and go with the aniyim, yuchayiv misa. Go home and get a good night's sleep. Come tomorrow and do what you're supposed to do. Everybody has to know what their tafkid is. Do it properly. Don't try to copy somebody else's tafkid. It's not your tafkid to do. Lastly, the Sfarno, you can look it up in Baloscha, the beginning of Baloscha. The Torah says, El mul pnei ha-menorah yo'iru shiva saneros. Facing towards the middle of the menorah, all seven candles illuminated towards the middle. Says the Sfarno, that's not true. There are only six candles on the sides that face to the middle. The middle was itself. So only six candles illuminated on the center, not the center. Says the Sfarno, what it means is the following. The three candles to the right, the three branches represent people who are Torosim Umnosim, people devoted, Yungalite, Avreichim, Klei Kodesh, people who are devoted totally to Torah, don't have a worldly occupation. The three branches to the left, says the Sfarno, represent people who are Mekayim, Yofet, Talmud Torah, and Derech Eretz, people who combine Torah with a worldly occupation. When they all face the middle and do what they're doing, L'shem Shomayim, then the Or Hashem comes from all seven together. That's Klal Yisrael. I want to add one addition to the Sfarno. When they face the middle, they also face each other. When the people who are learning Torah all the time can respect and appreciate the people who are working, not only because they support them, but because they're creating a society, because they're doing what they're doing in a difficult way, and what they're doing is also Avodas Hashem and L'shem Shomayim. And they don't look at them as second-class citizens and don't accept their children into the Chadorim with them because they're third-class citizens, even if they're Rebbeim. And when the people who are working look and appreciate the people who are learning and understand that the only way they can continue working is if there's a world. And the only way there's a world is because there are people sitting and learning all the time. And the world is a more secure place the deeper they're learning and the more people that are learning. So when they look at each other with respect and with admiration, then the Or Hashem comes from everybody. That, in my estimation, is what Klal Yisrael should be. Again, the details, you can argue among yourselves, but I think the Inyan Klali is Emes Lamito, and there's place in Klal Yisrael, like the Sfarno says, for the menorah. Where you're on the menorah, even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't decide. They had to throw it into the Ribbono Shel Olam decides where you're going to end up. Some people think they'll end up on this side of the menorah and they end up the other side. Some people think the other side, they end up on this side. That's mostly B'yad Hashem with a Bechira that a person has. But the Maisa, whichever side you're on, know that you have to look to the other side with admiration and with respect. And in that way, the Or Hashem will come from all of them. And from that Or Hashem will come Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toyer, the Vias Goel Tzedek Meir of Yomim.